Hello, everyone. Welcome to Animation Nation. I am your host, Prime Time, here with the latest news around animation and pop culture. Hopefully, everyone's having a wonderful day, no matter where you are around the world. First off, I want to make this episode as a special report because I want to do a rant on this situation where, for those of you who don't know, I'm pretty sure everyone knows what's going on right now, is a couple nights ago, me and my siblings, we watched the documentary of the All Quiet on Set, where it talks about the situation going on in Nickelodeon and their child stars. And, you know, they exposed what the studio has done to these child, specifically a person by the name of Dan Schneider and Brian Peck, and then Jason, what's his face? I forgot his name, but, you know, a couple of people who were in charge of these sets, and they were able to get away with all these sort of stuff, except for a few who got justice for half a time. And, you know, a lot of these child actors have faced many traumas, whether it be from based on their gender, their race, their age, and the way how they depict these shows in inappropriate manners. And not even just the child actors, also the staff who works behind the scenes, like the editors, the writers, the clothing department, the makeup department, who have faced some inappropriate stuff from Dan Schneider. Like, for example, one of the women who was a dress-up artist, who's in charge of the clothing, was working on two shows by Dan Schneider, and Schneider requested her to give him a massage during a set, as one example. And then there's a few people who expressed that Dan Schneider was very aggressive in the writer's room. Even I heard one of the producers of 101 says he brought like some type of shotgun in the writer's room. I wasn't sure if that was over exaggeration or not, or something to be fearful. From what I heard. Other than that, and obviously with the situation with Drake Bell, which for those of you who don't know, I just want to give you context. I hear a lot of people say something on the internet. I also did myself some faults and did some searching, those sort of stuff. And the documentary make it clear that before I give details for Drake, I just want to say, you know, Drake Bell. Obviously, a few years ago, he was found guilty for sexting a minor, basically, and he accepted. The punishment. However, there has been details, and according to the documentary and many other in the internet, that this minor has faked her age to make Drake Bell get in trouble for big repercussions, basically. So I would say take this lightly, since again you have this individual who faked their age to seem like they're a minor, which according to what I heard, they're not. And so at this point, people say want to keep him guilty, not guilty. I would say, well, I want to leave that aside, since I want to make this not guilty, since again, Mr. Drake Bell, he's being respectful. He accepted his punishment. He accepted everything he has done. And it makes it feel like he didn't do anything wrong. And again, a lot of evidence for this person, individual who faked their age to make this the publicity. That's when I want to give you guys background just in case to talk about Mr. Bell. other than that, Drake Bell faced a lot of things. You know, he mentioned in the documentary. I don't want to give you spoilers. It's been like a week since the episode came out, so I'm going to give this lightly and recommend you guys watch it. But Drake Bell, you know, he was a kid who got Brian Pick in jail. I seen a lot of I seen the letters of who are the people who supported Brian Pick. Over 41 letters to submitted. One of them was like the writer for the, but I think writer producer for the X-Men. I was like, holy crap, really? It shocks me how how many of these Hollywood elites support this, his monster, this fucking pedophile of Brian Peck. To give his context, basically, not aside from him being a molester, he also done some a lot of like inappropriate stuff. For example, he had a painting of a serial killer. We go, I don't know the, I forgot the actual name of him, but I know he goes by Pogo the Clown, which he used to be a clown for, like, you know, for like children's birthday parties. On the side, he kills multiple people. He does some like pedophilia stuff himself, and all that sort of stuff. And he writes letters. He's basically a pen pal to this killer, and that is just creepy stuff. I'll tell you that. And he still writes them. Oh my god. That should have been a red flag if anyone finds out that he still has pen pals to a serial killer who killed many people. And just as a fucking clown for kids. Oh yeah. When you guys context, I went deep inside to deep dive into a little bit of a few things that makes you uncomfortable. You guys don't want to hear it, that's, I'm okay with that, but it's up to you guys if you guys want to dive into the situation, because I want to make this rant because I'm not afraid to say this, but Nickelodeon is a bad company in general, and I'm pretty sure you guys know what have they done to these people. But back to the Drake Bell part before getting to that situation, you know, there's a lot of documentations where describe what Drake Bell, or this individual at the time who was faced with this monster. It's just very, very sad. And the moment when I see the when his father cried, it got me. It fucking got me. Like, no, again, no parent should face their children go through this sort of stuff. And, you know, this father did what he can to make sure Drake was safe at the time, make sure he doesn't get into any trouble or any other like bad individuals. And then, you know, this person was able to like infected their lives. He made Drake and his mother turn against his father. And I thought it was a big scummy move to do so. And, you know, it's awkward. This also happened to another individual who, I think it was in all that. He, you know, he faces a lot of, like, discrimination because he was black. And in his, because this individual said he wants to get out of the hood. That's understandable. You know, he wants to, like, make it out of it. He wants to send his family, mostly his mom, to live, like, a happy life, I'm assuming. And you know, his mom was able to see, she was able to pinpoint a few things that doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem normal. And I agree that she should have just, you know, take his child out of the studio, because he's gone a lot of inappropriate stuff. They made this kid just up as a fetus, call himself little fetus or whatever. They made this kid, like, dushed in fucking peanut butter, have, like, dogs licking his body. And I could hear the kid saying that, I don't like this, this is disgusting, or whatever. Yeah. This discrimination part was where, like, Dan Schneider was treating this kid like a, you know, like a second glance. And then the moment where they got a phone call, they said they don't want to deal with him anymore. You know, and this kid got excited, and he wants to see his pals, his dudes, and his homies, and all that sort of shit. But they didn't let him. And, you know, I don't blame the kid. You know, the guy, he's all grown up already and he blamed himself, but for me, I don't blame him. Don't, this is Studio's fault. And at the time where this kid got out of the show, things got a lot of serious with the guy named Jason, who was a creep. And the moment I hear that happen from a couple months later for that, I'm just gonna say this, look, thank God they kicked this kid out, because if this kid was still in that company, he would have faced like inappropriate stuff from that pedophile that just like got arrested after the kid got kicked out. Even the mother agreed, like, thank God that they did this, because I know it's not intentional. I know it's like intentionally to do so, but they weren't aware. It's like some, it's like some type of stroke of luck in a way, where if he wasn't there, I mean, he was, again, he was, if he was there, he would have gotten molested by Jason, basically. I believe this kid kind of dodged a bullet, sort of, in a way. Or like, this kid kind of like dodged the bullet, or like, you know, he missed the mark, or he missed a marking, so to speak, and he was able to like escape clean. But even though, besides that, the kid still went to mental traumas, and all that sort of stuff. And then, oh yeah, and there was one skit where they have him as like a, basically like a, one skit where he dressed like a Girl Scout and pretends he's selling Girl Scout cookies in a low key, which the mother says is an indication of, obviously, a crack dealer, a stereotypical black crack dealer. And, you know what, I don't blame her as well for pointing that out, because it's a lot of discriminatory I see from this sort of stuff. Even another one says that she was a black token within the show. She didn't notice that until now. And, you know, it's a lot of wonky stuff that these people faced. And even there's like two female writers who feel discriminated by Dan Schneider, who didn't want them because he believes that girls are not funny, or they're uptight because they want to deal with all this sort of shtick in the writer's room. They even gave the writers like half cuts. Like, they had to share a payment if you're a starting writer. I'm like, what the fuck? You had to share a fucking paycheck to two writers? That is just bullcrap. That's just bullcrap. And I'm glad one of the women who were able to like call the guild or union, the writers' guild at the time, basically, and do something about it. Yeah, and then the one that kind of like got me was that not got me, but like one that seems interesting was that was one of the actresses for Zoey 101 who did like a skit where she's supposed to like open a tube of toothpaste, I believe, or gel, like a candy gel. And then was a shot where like the gel flew up on Zoey, and then she remarks that one of the studio producers were screaming "cum shot," and you know the actress at the time was young; she doesn't know what that means until now. And you know it is just disgusting. And people just say, "Oh, it's just the '90s; it was different." But if you have the fucking kid who just heard that fucking quote from the producer, it says "cum shot," you know that this is done intentionally to be sexual. Like, what the fuck? Not to mention you have like two fucking pedophiles who are writing this fucking show. Like, Jesus Christ. But yeah. And you know, I'm glad that like, at least hopefully it's moved forward. I already seen the Dan Schneider response with one of the actresses of Boogie from iCarly, the guy who plays the dude with the bagels on a stick or whatever. And his apology was half baked. He's like, oh, they want to see this, just cut it off. Even if you cut off the fucking scenes, it's still not gonna help. People still gonna remember those scenes because it was just very irrational. It was like inhumane, disgusting. It was very inappropriate. You can't erase something that's been permanently there that people have been documented over the past decades. It's already been documented. He didn't even mention, he hardly even mentioned Drake. Hardly. And this is where I want to dove into the situation, because I know I want to bring this to light, because I know this company for at least my life. I don't work for Nickelodeon, just to be clear, but I research and I've seen a lot of blunders they've done, because if you want to make a show, you want to research the studios or companies you want to work for and to see if there's anything that's appropriate or not. And I know for a fact I have clear documentations and resources that I recommend you guys should look up. The Nickelodeon has done some shady stuff. Aside from the child actors and stuff. Like, for example, two creators who sexually harass women. One being John Kay, the creator of Ren and Stimpy, who molested two young females who want to become animators, and he took advantage of those females of their dreams to fly them over to California, and he just like give them like inappropriate touches, doing more of his style, more like a lewd sense. And ever since years that happened, you know, back during the Me Too movement, a man was taken to court, got guilty, sued, and he has to apologize. He apologized to the women. And those two individuals didn't accept his apology. Not to mention that the guy has problems, honestly, and it's just so wrong to see. Another example is, I'm pretty sure it's kind of well known, but people don't talk about it that much, is with the creator of the Loud House, Chris Savino. If you don't know, back in 2017, he was caught by many women in the industry who said that he was he sexually harassed multiple women throughout his career. I want to tell you something. This man started his gig during around like Ren and Stimpy, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls. Throughout 2 decades, he had like a beautiful portfolio, amazing portfolio. He had like a lot of shows he worked under. It was great. I liked it. People would hire him automatically. But the shit he's done to these women throughout decades shows the fact that things could happen in the past could affect you in the future. And that affected him automatically. You know what Nickelodeon done? They fired him, replaced him with someone else. I don't know what he's doing, but the last time I heard, he was like making a book or something and attending like a local church or whatever. That's the last time I heard from Chris Savino. And it's just very horrid, honestly. It's very horrid. Another one I want to mention is that this one wasn't much talked about. I think it deserves to be talked about, is with the situation with Harvey Beaks. If you don't know, Harvey Beaks was an animated series created by the creator of Chowder, C.H. Greenblatt, which at the time, the show wasn't being treated fairly. It had complicated time slots and with lower ratings, to the point where they moved the show to their sister channel, Nicktoons, which if you don't know, it's a channel that you had to pay extra. And obviously with that in mind, it doesn't get that much viewership. And so what Nick does is they move the show entirely to Nicktoons without the creator's whereabouts. And once that he is aware of what happened, why his show is getting canned, he just called him out on Tumblr, to talk about the situation. What makes it worse was that a few days later, during that time, he made an apology for that sort of stuff. And he made it clear that the apology was forced by the Nickelodeon staff members to do so. And people well know that he was forced to make an apology for calling them out. That is just scummy. That is just this irritating. People don't want to be forced to make an apology. You know that they did something wrong to the show. And this was happening to not just his show. Other shows were facing that sort of stuff where, like, there's a stigma where if your show isn't as successful as SpongeBob or The Loud House, they sent your show to the fucking Sixers channel and have an excuse for it to cancel it for low ratings or low viewership. It was like that. I don't know if they still do that. I know Cartoon Network and Disney used to do that sort of stuff, but those two seem to... they stopped. Most notably, Disney Channel kind of stopped doing that because most of the shows they put were supposed to be exclusive to Disney, to Disney XD. Then I think somewhere like around years later, they decided to pull them out and just put on the main channel, which I thought it was a good move for Disney to do that sort of shit. Cartoon Network, I think they stopped doing that. It was a bit vague, but I think they stopped doing it. But Nick seems to be more notorious to do that sort of stuff up to light and have one of the creators speak out because of the situation. And I believe the research, this is a little bit wonky, but I know there's a few videos, like a guy by the name of the Pie Guy Rose in the video on this one. I like that guy. He's like a good animation YouTube channel. I think there's a few Tumblr posts, and I think there's also another article that shows that sort of stuff. I think this is a story you have to keep digging to figure out, to find the context of what happened to Mr. Siege Greenblatt. And right now he's still working on Jellystone, working for Warner Brothers, for that sort of stuff. The last one I want to bring up with is this was a heavy hitter, and people were angry when this happened. the year when, so, it was a time when the creator of SpongeBob, Steven Hillenburg, passed away. Now, before he passed away, he made a few promises to the studios that A, don't make any spinoffs of the show, and B, don't have Pearl have a mom or something like that. I forgot what's the third thing. I don't remember what was the promise that Hillenburg told the company. I know those were the main two that kind of sticked out. I need to try to research the what were the promises. I know there's. I know the rules that he made a promise. I think it was, Change.org did like a little petition to stop it. So I'm going to find where it is to what he mentions. Let's see. I'm just going to look at the aging down. What were the promises? What was one of the promises that he created? Okay, yeah. He has 7 unbreakable rules for SpongeBob. So one is... SpongeBob would have to be an adult. Nickelodeon executives wanted the character to be a school-age child. Hillenburg compromised by making him an adult student. SpongeBob attends Mrs. Buff's boarding school. 2, no matter what, SpongeBob would never get his boarding license. Hillenburg liked the way that he and Mrs. Buff interact with and didn't want any dynamic to the end. 3, the show would never reveal the identity of Mr. Krabs' Pearl Krabs' mother, according to the Screen Rant. Pearl is a whale, her father Eugene Krabs, because Hillenburg wanted to teach character to a different animal, since Pearl takes after her mother. We can assume their mother is a whale, but how that came about, what happened, remains a mystery. 4, the recipe for the chiropractic skill formula will be remain a secret. After all, real-life restaurants don't really share their formulas, recipes to either one, which Nickelodeon ended up breaking that rule by making them real at the NFL Wild Card Game of 2022, which I didn't know that happened. 5, SpongeBob will have no love interests. Hillenburg wanted to have the character to be like a real sea sponge. Sea sponges have both male and female reproduction organs and don't need to speak out partners. They are also able to reproduce asexually via a process called budding. Something like that. 6 is the one I kind of Cross Me Off. No spin off. Miss no spin offs. The SpongeBob, the show SpongeBob, he's the core element, and it's about how he relates to the other characters, like Patrick himself, maybe a bit too much. So I don't really see any spin offs. Which Nickelodeon kind of break that rule because they introduced two shows, Camp Coral and the Patrick Star Show. They also break the other rule where they want to have SpongeBob be like a fucking student, but guess what? Camp Coral, he's just doing it at the camp. When he ages up as a camp, as a kid. Number 7, last one. No crossover episodes with other cartoons, according to the writer and animator Vince Willer, who worked on the series. Crossovers wouldn't be feasible since SpongeBob Universe is underwater. As seen on Twitter, he said that Steve prefers we do not do crossovers. Which, as far as I know, I don't think the only crossovers he's done is only in video games. That's all I know. It's just video games. He does like crossover with other Nickelodeon, no other Nicktoons. But Nickelodeon broke a few of his rules, like no spin-offs and the Cry Party Secret Forum, which I didn't even know. Honestly, I didn't even know that happened. And that's the thing, they broke the rules a few months after his death. And people pointed that out, that hey, this is getting fishy, why are they making a spinoff after one of their like best known creators just passed away a few months ago? Why are they doing that? And people got angry. And I was angry too, because it shows them that they don't care. Nickelodeon, Viacom, Paramount, they just don't care about their creators and all that sort of stuff. I'm bringing this to light because Nickelodeon in general is a bad company. Not just child actors, also behind the scenes on animation as well. And this should be made to light that they've never cared about their creators, all that sort of stuff. And I believe this is made to light to show people what they have been up to for the past few decades to come. And not to mention, there is one I also caught off was, I think it was a podcast called the Pizza Party Podcast, which had the creator of Victor Valentino, which he mentions that he pitched a show to, or pitched the show to Nickelodeon. I think it goes down the line where he was with the Cartoon Network executives, and he mentions that if this show wasn't go to Cartoon Network, it would just go to Nickelodeon. And one of the Nickelodeon staff members, Cartoon Network staff members, whispered in his ear saying that they only accept shows that are like slapstick humor, basically. One of the known examples they do this is with the Adventure Time incident, where I don't know if this was actually factually true or not, where, for those of you who don't know, Adventure Time pilot came on Nickelodeon first. And obviously Nickelodeon didn't accept the Adventure Time and went to Cartoon Network, which I believe was a big blow to Nickelodeon, because if they would have done that, they would have got millions and millions of dollars. Because at the time, Adventure Time was like a big hit. The theory goes as this, where, with that in mind, we believe that that they choose Fanboy and Chum Chum over Adventure Time because of his slapstick humor. That was the theory. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I understand they lived in a close year that where they were aired. But if that was technically true, then it shows how much the creators or the people who are in charge of Nickelodeon do not care. I also like to mention the fact that there were other shows that were treating poorly on Nickelodeon. For example, with the Rise of TMNT, I understand it got a lot of backlash, but when it came out, but the animation was pretty good, pretty solid. It was kind of treated poorly by Nickelodeon when they sent it to Nicktoons. Another one that people keep forgetting was the show called Welcome to the Wayne. It was sort of like a Gravity Falls-esque show. Takes place at a hotel. I watched it. It was solid, pretty good so far. I don't know why Nick didn't go through this show. It's kind of interesting how they kind of like throw out of the bus and just not mention that shit ever again, honestly. And it's kind of questionable how they do their practices. As far as I know, that's what I want to talk about for Nick. And you know, I'm not afraid to do this. I'm not afraid to say it, but I just want to say that Nickelodeon is one of those companies that you need to keep a very watchful eye if you want to make your own show, make your own like ideas for this sort of stuff. And I want to say this. I want to say this. Cartoon Network and Disney, specifically Disney Channel, have their own fair share of controversies. As far as I know. But Nickelodeon seems to be taking a lot more and more and more than the other two. And I could keep ranting about what Nick what Disney and Cartoon Network were doing at the time, but their stuff wasn't that much like not that much impactful, so to speak, compared to what Nickelodeon did to many other people who run their network, honestly. And it gives you the fact that they don't care about the stuff they make. They only care is about their money and their bottom line. Do I believe Nickelodeon deserve the cancellation they're having right now? Honestly, maybe, but I know for a fact that what we're gonna do, we're gonna stop watching this show in general. We're not gonna subscribe to Paramount Plus. We're gonna, I don't know, make the company like Paramount to cancel the show. Of course they're not gonna do that. And people mentioned about the upcoming Kids' Choice Awards. I don't watch that shit until bro, like it's preteen, then I stopped watching it. And people were questioning if they're gonna bring this up to light to the Choice Awards or not. In my honest opinion, I'm pretty sure they're gonna sweep it under the rug. And even if they're gonna mention about it, they're gonna mention about this lightly. Because I know there's a few companies who've done this sort of stuff where they kind of mention it, but they don't like really, really, really like, you know, like bring it to light, and they're on their sort of stuff. And that's the thing that kind of troubles me a lot with these companies. Like they did with Activision Blizzard, where one of the representatives went on BlizzCon and just say, yeah, we apologize for that sort of stuff, but we don't care what happens on Hong Kong or whatever. Either what happened with Blitzchung and him being censored over there for playing Hearthstone. Those type of companies do that shady shit. And I'm saying this because you need to be careful who are the people you're working with, because you never know if they want to screw you or screw you over your ideas, your passions, and they could just manipulate them and just spit you under the rug. I'm telling you, man, Hollywood is just a shady place. It's a shady place to work with, and I'm glad Hollywood is just going down the shitter and people stop watching Hollywood stuff. And people just mostly watch entertainment on YouTube and on the internet, and like Twitch and all that sort of stuff. You know, I don't watch cable that much anymore. I just go on YouTube because apparently I'm not the only one that YouTube is basically my TV. It's basically what it is. It's just my television. Same goes with Twitch. And I'm glad that many other animators working their stuff independently. I know right now Glitch is getting a lot of backlash because what they treat for their animators and their staff members right now. But I understand what the CEO says, that this is the first time being independent, so he says he barely got the stuff, barely got the organizers, healthcare department, all that sort of stuff, because he wasn't, I guess you could say he wasn't sure if all those resources were necessary until he kind of like understood that, okay, I know this isn't working, so I could see why many companies are hiring people like that, like PR or HR, or like organizers, managers, all that sort of stuff. And so they're kind of like figuring out what a company actually needs, and they actually understand why this stuff is not necessary, but they kind of see it now through all the backlash. And I kind of get that. I kind of get that. I understand most of the animators and people who are working for Glitch are have this made to this stuff, and I'm sorry for what you guys went through. It looks like the company's changing. I don't know, but we have to wait and see what happens so far with Glitch. I kind of want to bring this up because it's a company where we don't want this company to be as the other ones from the mainstream ones. We want to keep independent, more like, you know, stable and do the best we can sort of stuff. Cause I know there's like a lot of hit or miss when it comes to VisiPop. And it's just like, it's all a big tobacco mess. People keep accusing her or whatever. And I don't want to get into that because it was my mistake who did something that I should have corrected myself a couple times. But other than that, we want to keep, you know, independent animation more stable and more welcoming than those people over at Hollywood or New York that have making their animators and people who work with them in general. Whether you're part of the animation industry or not, facing these types of awkward and disgusting repercussions, because we're just seeing this to light, and we're now bringing this up honestly. And we're glad that we're having this conversation because Nick has always been this kind of company for many decades, and I want to bring this to light because a lot of people want, because I'm pretty sure people want to see more stuff from Nickelodeon, what they have done. Aside from the child actors, because I know they're important. I know the child actors are important, the live action stuff. But I want to bring this to light because there's other people who are affected from the other departments that faced the company as well. That's the thing I want to bring that to light, honestly, and give you guys more aware and do more research, honestly, because I dig much research for over the years about the situation with Nick. I do what I can, and I recommend you guys to do so. Because I know, I understand that digging things or researching is kind of, you know, kind of scummy or whatever, but it helps. By the time there helps you opening like a broader picture, it helps you like open your mind to see how many people are doing this sort of stuff. Because all this sort of stuff is not, because I understand people are like having this stigma, like, oh, I don't want to be like one of those people who wear tinfoil hats, the weird motherfuckers. I understand that. I was one of them as well. At least I was like one of the people who were skeptical of those people. But now a few of those stuff is kind of becoming a norm. And all this stuff is becoming more reputable, honestly. And we're seeing this from the mainstream. And I want to get you guys more be aware of this sort of stuff, because normally I do news topics like this, but for this one, it's something that I've been holding on for many years. I want to bring this to light, and I want to bring this to light right now, honestly, for Nickelodeon. And I don't know what's going to happen for the future for this channel, for this studio, but with the wait and see in the Choice Awards, I guess, which I doubt they're going to mention it. Also, one thing I want to mention is that, obviously, this documentary happened with Drake Bell. Obviously, his co-partner Josh Peck made like a little TikTok calling Drake out for not mentioning this back to his death last year. And recently, recently Josh Peck made like a statement where he finally watched the documentary. Like, first of all, watch the documentary, man. Why are you calling out Drake without watching the documentary first? What the fuck? And also Drake and, you know, Drake and Josh, haha, funny, or whatever, you know, had like a private conversation, and, you know, he clears the water that, hey, I understand what he's went. We talked a little, and, you know, Drake told him that, hey, take it easy on Josh. We just had a conversation about this situation just now, and to clear things out of the water, because this is a situation that could be handled delicately, and try not to, like, stir up the stuff, because right now Nick is going through a big backlash, and I just can't wait to see what's gonna happen to Nick. To where it happens, I doubt they're gonna mention this situation over in the Nickelodeon Choice Awards. I doubt the show, I doubt the studios or the channel's gonna be taken down or whatever. But we just have to wait and see. And I don't know if their viewership is if it's going down or not. That's some. actually kind of curious. I never thought of that, honestly. Yeah, ever since the documentary came out, I don't know if the viewership came down. Because I know for a fact that most of their audience is still children. And I doubt children are able to see that documentary because it has more mature things. But it's the internet. The children will find another way to watch the documentary or watch like a few short videos or video compilations and then like video essays on Nickelodeon. So, you know, sometimes if it's like something that's not meant to children, kids are gonna find another way to know the situation. So it's kind of like an awkward phase to know this. So I'm not sure if Nickelodeon has dropped in ratings or not. That's the thing I want to know. I'm just putting in Nickelodeon ratings. If it still goes up or is going down? I think it's going down the shitter, but last thing you can see, I'm reading an article right now called MovieWeb.web to see if Nickelodeon has something about Blunder. This sort of stuff, but as far as we know, it doesn't really talk that much if the ratings for the show or the channel in general is going down and down, which I'm pretty sure, and I doubt that. But if the ratings does go down, then we might see something real. Because I know the few main channels were getting low because obviously cutting cable, moving to internet full time. But there, here and there, whatever, we just are waiting to see. Because I know it's still, the news is still a bit young. We still got a lot of things to cover. But as of right now, it might take some time, a little bit more time to see the full effect on Nickelodeon, honestly, and to see how it goes. I'll give you guys an update if there's anything happening with this Nickelodeon situation. So that's what I want to talk about or rant about such a situation, because again, I had a lot more information in the past where I did research and seen a lot of things Nickelodeon has done in the past. I want to bring this to light. Again, didn't work for the company. I don't know anyone from the company. All I know from what many reports, many people were making essays about it, and seeing what Nickelodeon has done over the past decades to come. So that's the episode for this story. One, hope you like today's episode so far. Make sure you guys follow or subscribe to a podcast for episodes like this. This is Animation Nation. I'm your host, Primetime, here. Hopefully, get to see you guys around next week or somewhere on this today. So have a wonderful day and stay safe. Goodbye.